BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined once again by Justin Southwell and Eve Batoba. And this week we are joined by one of their teammates, Lane Taylor. Lane, thanks for joining us this week and coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Lane Taylor, look, one of the most underappreciated people. We talk about being a steady piece on the offensive line, right? First of all, O-linemen are always underappreciated. But Lane, like, you're a guy who not only were you able to, you know, be a starter through your time at Oklahoma State, but whenever you went on to the league, you had to scratch and claw for everything that you got, man. So I'm excited. I'm hyped that you are here, man. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate the love. You know, O-line, we got to take the love we can get. It's a tough life to live.
We are going to get into the importance of a solid O-line in just a couple minutes, Lane. Guys, it was kind of a nice week, and we got to sit back, watch an instant classic Big 12 championship game. You know, you wish your team is in it. However, I think we were all happy we weren't TCU and, you know, getting we know what it's like to be stopped. Did you guys watch any of that game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, feel bad for TCU, especially since they were undefeated going into it, but props to K-State. I think we all kind of expected, you know, leading up to a certain point in the year, K-State's for real. And I'm really excited to see what K-State does against Alabama.
I loved the video afterwards whenever TCU's football team was just waiting around to see whether or not they got into the playoffs. You could see the look on everybody's faces. They were just expecting the worst, or at least emotionally prepared for the worst. And then whenever they got in, the room imploded. So that was really cool. I suggested, look, next year, based on the last two seasons, they need to just have the Big 12 title game on the one-yard line. All right, one play, draw up your best play, winner takes all, and let it be that way, because seemingly it seems like that's how it's just going to be decided every year.
That's what it does seem like it comes down to. Man, you know what? Yeah, I'm right here. I'm, like, right outside Fort Worth. And, like, going into the game, I'm like, all right, you know, I want TCU to win. I want the narrative to kind of change about the Big 12. But then the longer I watched it, the less and less I could root for TCU just because they're so local. I just couldn't do it. But, you know, they got in. Good for them and everything. So hopefully they represent the Big 12 and go ahead and win some games.
And I know this is the Believe in OK State podcast, but had to show TCU a little bit of love getting into the college football playoff. But Lane, you're joining us, so we will get to Oklahoma State in your time here. It's been a crazy week with the transfer portal, lots of news there. That wasn't really a thing. Well, not really. It wasn't a thing. The portal came, it was revamped and relaunched in 2018 after you guys were done your college years. But Lane, what was your experience like being recruited at Oklahoma State?
It was fun. It's a little different nowadays because you don't have the portal to just exit whenever you want, but yeah. You're kind of stuck there, I guess. But it was fun. Yeah, I at the time, I went to Arlington Martin, and the football team wasn't too good. And we got all new coaches. They cleaned house, changed our mentality. We went to the playoffs for the first time in 10 years and really changed the culture. And, you know, I was really blessed because they actually cared about their players. They sent highlight tapes. This is back in the day now. I'm kind of old.
This pre-huddle?
This is the pre-huddle.
Pre-huddle.
Wow. Yeah. So you had to burn CDs with your highlight tape and then mail out CDs to all the different coaches, and then they'd go through it. And that's how you got it out there. And they did a good job of that, you know, had my face on the front of it and everything. And and it kind of really – I had 9 scholarships. It really came down to KU and Oklahoma State. I knew I wanted to play for a Big 12 team. At the time, KU was actually decent. Mangino was there. They went to the Orange Bowl. They were actually pretty good. And but I one weekend I went to on an unofficial visit to Kansas, and you know, it was cool. They were kind of lying to me. They were like, it doesn't really snow here that much. And I was like, And I was looking at a brochure of like snow everywhere. But hilarious. But it was cool. I mean, I liked the campus and the coaches were cool. But like once I drove, you know, 4 hours down south, went to Oklahoma State, I knew when I left there, I was like, I'm committing there for sure.
Who recruited you at OSU?
Looper.
It was Looper. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, Looper. Yeah, he left before I even got there.
Oh, yeah. He left, I think, a year after I got there. He was at TCU for a few years, and then I'm not sure where he's at now.
Did you ever think of leaving when he left? Because, that you know, with coaches leaving, that's something players sometimes tend to follow.
Yeah, no, I wasn't that attached. I mean, he was cool and everything, but, you know, he was doing his job. He was a running backs coach, so it didn't really affect me too much, you know. But, I mean, I was kind of like, wow.
I mean, cool. But, you also had you had Coach Wickline as your O-line coach, who if you would have done anything that he didn't like, he probably would have ripped you a new one anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. So I didn't have much room to get to step out of line with him, so I didn't really have a chance to think about Luke for leaving.
I love it.
But yeah, once I committed, I knew I went to the right spot. And I still am glad I committed to Oklahoma State. It was an awesome experience, great time, and I'm glad to, you know, be able to support them and be a fan now.
Ned, do you think it's a lot more stressful as a player or as a fan? Just like whenever you watch OSU games.
Like, you have like the pressure of like the game and everything, but like being a fan, it's kind of tough, you know. It's an emotional roller coaster, you know. Well, because when you're playing, you don't really realize, you know, how intense some situations are. You're just, you know, you're just playing ball, you know, and afterwards you're like, man, that was a pretty good game. But during the time, you don't even realize. But as a fan, you're all stressed out, you know, you're yelling and everything. And so it's definitely
an emotional. And you're watching everything. I think a lot of times people don't realize that, hey, after you get off the field, like, you're talking to your position group, to your coaches. You're not even paying attention to what the defense is doing on the field at that time, right? Because you're just so, you know, occupied with your assignments, and then it's time to get back out there. But as a fan, you feel every single part of the game. So, yeah, I mean, it can get stressful as a fan for sure.
As a player, too, you feel like you have control over the outcome. Like, if I'm on the field and I do my job, and, you know, as a defensive player, if I made an interception in a game, I'm like, okay, well, I stopped that. Or if I, you know, force a turnover, okay, then I did my job to get the offense back the ball. You know, I'm talking lacrosse right now, not football, but neither here nor there. Whereas a fan, it's like, well, it's got to hope that everyone does their job and hope that this person steps up. But as a player, you feel like you have a little bit of control over what's going on.
Yeah. No, with that said, Lane, how do you feel about OSU football this past season?
It was a tough year. It was. I'm not gonna lie. It was, you know, it started out good. I think we were all feeling ourselves a little bit, and, you know, kind of let that TCU game, you know, let that off the hook and stuff. And but then once, you know, it was a little bit of combination. Once the injuries really piled up, I think, you know, we were hanging on, and like, we had that big win in versus Texas. And I think that was, we were really hanging on with like our depth and in the injury situation. And then it really caught up. And obviously when your quarterback goes down, it's tough to kind of pick up those pieces. And so, you know, right now, I mean, personally, I feel like we're in a pretty pivotal point in the, you know, the program. Like, obviously, a few changes need to be made, some adjustments need to be made. But, like, you know, with people exiting, people coming back in, it's a big time to really, you know, make a push to be good.
Before we dive deep into the transfer portal, one of the big names, or the biggest name that announced, was Spencer Sanders. And we talked about it a few weeks ago, guys, the importance of an offensive line and how that might play a factor in his decision. So now we have a NFL defense or offensive lineman with us. How important is an offensive line to a team, and why do you think that it doesn't get the recognition that it deserves, Lane?
I think because there's really no good stats kept for offensive linemen, right? Well, we keep bad stats. Like, oh, how many sacks does the guy have? How many pressures does he have? Oh, that was a tackle for a loss. Watch this guy right here, you know? But, like, every time there's a good run, you're like, oh, look at the running back run. Look how he did this and that. It's the nature, and we all know it from a young age, but it's just kind of it's our life.
I will say you don't hear too many other position groups getting bought or taken out for a steak dinner or bought Rolexes by their quarterbacks. You know, I don't see him doing that for the wide receivers or the running backs. I don't see the D-line taking out their corners. So that is one of the positives of being an O-lineman, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, inside of the building, everyone appreciates a good offensive lineman. But outside, you know, it can be hit or miss.
As we've said several times, the transfer portal was probably the biggest news of the week. Good news for Oklahoma State, Colin Oliver and Kendall Daniels are staying. So that is huge for the defense. But Spencer Sanders, Mason Cobb, Kenyon Williams, Thomas Harper, Dominic Richardson, Trace Ford and Braylon Presley are all some of the bigger names to have announced that they will not be coming back this year. Justin, who are you most surprised entered the portal?
Yeah, it's a lot of big names there, but for me, it's Braylon Presley, because he's a true freshman. His brother is on the team. You already know what Oklahoma State's about, and you picked Oklahoma State for a reason. Yeah, I get you're frustrated with the way this year went, but my guy, it's a process. Like, it takes some time. So I get that you're frustrated with your playing time this year, but Gundy has coached longer than you've been on this earth. You have to trust. You have to have a little bit of faith in development. All right. Now, I wish every coach on the staff could hear this message. The recruiting process does not stop once they're on your team. You continue to recruit them by giving them chances to make plays. For guys like Braylon, 2 to 4 plays a game, it's going to give him a foundation to work from, keeping him engaged and hungry for more. He'll be able to come back in the offseason with this goal to elevate his game to the next level. Now, I heard some Deuce Vaughn comparisons, right? Deuce had 642 yards and 7 touchdowns as a true freshman. That's 100 yards more and 1 less touchdown than Dominic Richardson this year as a junior. And back then, Deuce was splitting time with a guy named Harry Trotter. 0-star running back from Hogwarts. All right. He wasn't competing with guys like the people that had like the same caliber as Dominic Richardson, Jaden Nixon, Ollie Gordon. So of course Deuce is going to get a chance to stand out as a true freshman. That being said, I believe Braylon Presley has the potential to surpass Deuce Vaughn if he decides to stay at Oklahoma State. And I love that Braylon has the confidence in his ability to be able to compare himself to arguably the best running back in the Big 12. But dude, it takes time. It's a process. You have to prove it to coaches consistently in practice. And then coaches, you have to trust in the guys you recruited.
Here's my question to you all going on the Braylon Presley thing. He was quoted, his comments were in the Tulsa World. I feel like our backs weren't being used correctly, if I'm being completely honest. I just didn't feel like they were being coached right to be the best running backs they could be. That was also tweeted out by someone named Reagan Harris, and that was liked by several players, including Ollie Gordon. What are your reactions to that comment from Presley and how this offense has been run?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because on one end, You definitely want the players to stay there. I've said in the past, Coach Gundy is really loyal to his seniors, right? Which I love, right? Like, hey, your upperclassmen, they've been there, they've done the work, like be loyal to them, reward them with the playing time. But with that being said, at some point you have to recognize, hey, these are some really, really talented 18 and 19 year olds that have come into the program, and you got to show them some love at some point, right? You know, the way that I see that quote really is, you know, I think right now, because of the nature of college football, we're really still in the infancy stages. And, you know, the one-time transfer rule really came out in August of 2021. And the portal has been around since 2018. But right now, it's kind of crazy, right? So the biggest thing for me is I hope that somebody is educating these young men about that, how over the last 3 years, of the guys that have entered the portal, less than 40% have actually found landing spots. So this year, I believe, is going to be a huge wake-up call for a lot of guys. But this week was the first time that the NCAA actually had an established window for the transfer portal. And it's chaotic right now. But I don't know about y'all, man. I think it's also kind of fun, right? It looks like the weather wire, the waiver wire. So whether it's good or bad, I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And the coaching staff honestly has to learn how to embrace that, because this is the new college football. And if you don't adapt quickly, if you don't learn to say, hey, this is the direction that we're going, you're going to get left behind, right? USC, they had 20 transfers this year. You see what they did in the Pac-12. TCU, they had 14 transfers last year, and they're in the playoffs right now. Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, like, they were all transfers who ended up being, who are great NFL quarterbacks right now. So players are getting the opportunity to play football instead of rotting away on the bench. And I think that, unfortunately, if you're a coach that is not embracing that and kind of like coddling to the emotions of the players, you're going to get left behind.
Lane, you're in the like 1% of the 1% that makes it to the next level and had a successful NFL career. You know, 9 years is exceeds expectations in NFL. I think the average career is like 3.5 years for certain position groups. But what are your thoughts on the transfer portal? Like, how my thought is that players are transferring, some, not all, because they don't know how to deal with adversity and they're not getting playing time. But then you look at the Jalen Hurtses, who are transferring starters, are MVP candidates in the NFL. So Lane, as someone who has been at the next level, how do you think this can help or hurt players?
You know, I think it is beneficial for, like you said, like Jalen, you know, he's a Heisman candidate, and then, you know, a freshman comes in and beats him out, I guess. And you're put in a tough position. You're like, all right, well, I'm trying to maximize my opportunity. So for scouts and all that, which I get that part. Like,
yeah,
kind of get jaded a little bit. You're a junior, maybe a senior, and you know you're not going to get playing time, but you're definitely good enough to play. I get the portal makes sense. It really does. And it's good, to tell you the truth. And then sometimes teams over recruit positions, and you're a good player, you get buried on the depth chart, and you just really want to go somewhere where you're going to have opportunity. And that's good. And then, you know, another one some people don't think about is, like, some guys, like, maybe aren't as good as they maybe thought they were. You know? So, I mean, to reality of it, I mean, maybe they're not as good as they thought they were. They got a good scholarship. You know, they took a chance on them. It really might not be that good. But, you know, to kind of go down maybe a division or whatnot, or a lower ranked school, I should say, would be beneficial for them. Get playing time, play, and whatnot. But, it, like the Presley kid, like, I mean, he's a freshman. He didn't even give himself a shot. That in my opinion, I would at least waited another year before even attempting, because he's an undersized running back, and it's tough to play that position undersized, and I don't even think he really gave himself a chance. So in situations like that, you wish guys would kind of fight it out and see how things play out.
Could it also be beneficial for him to leave now, knowing that this is not the right fit, and going somewhere that's a better fit where he can excel for the remaining 4 years of eligibility or 3 years of eligibility that he has?
I would say, I mean, you don't know how things are going to play out for you or pan out. I mean,
true.
For instance, myself, I started my, I say, technically redshirt freshman year. I didn't even dress for the first game. And then 2 weeks later, I'm the full-time starter, and I end up being a four-year starter. Like, at the beginning of that season, you could have gave me $1 million. I'm like, I'm not going to play this year. You know, there's all these older guys in front of me. There's JUCO transfers, and you just never know how things are going to play out. And I mean, obviously, you would imagine Gunny's going to make a few different moves, and you don't know how that would play. And maybe that turns out beneficial for you. So I'm more of the stick it out guy, but I understand some people's situations.
I think
I don't think you could. No, I was going to say, I don't think you could hear it from anybody better than Lane. Seriously. I mean, it is so beneficial to have a long-term outlook, right? Like, play the long game. If you're an underclassman, you have no idea how it's going to turn out. For me, one of the biggest surprises, though, wasn't an underclassman. It was Thomas Harper. That was the most surprising to me because he was an opening day starter and he had a lot of significant snaps, even though he was battling through injury. And I know that I'm biased because I'm a DB, and every time I watch Oklahoma State, my eyes always go to the secondary first, right? And that secondary just looks like a lot of fun. Like, whenever I was at OSU, we had a guy, Andre Sexton, and he was playing the star position. And it was like a safety linebacker tweener who played mostly as a down safety who could also fit against the run and could pressure as well. So fast forward to today, that same position is mostly a nickel or a coverage guy. And it gives us access to a lot of different coverages that you wouldn't necessarily see, but you see it in the Big 12 Conference. So for example, I love whenever we go to a three high version of the Tampa 2 and we drop that nickel deep, and it gives a free safety the freedom in the middle of the field. And then the corners can play more aggressively against the screens and the outside breaking routes because the nickel's over the top of him. So from that same three high look, there's so many different looks and secondary rotations and safety spins. So with that, with the way that the pro game has evolved right now, being a safety in this type of defense has so much value if you want to play in the NFL level. And I love the fact that, look at the last 5 years. Doesn't it seem that there's always an all Big 12 safety at Oklahoma State, whether it's first team, second team, or, you know, honorable mention? There's always that, because that safety position, I think we know how to do it the right way this year with Jason Taylor, Trey Sterling, Colby Harvell-Peel, name your safety. So I was really surprised to see Thomas Harper going out there, especially as a guy who was the opening day starter.
I definitely agree with Eve's point on having that outlook mindset, you know, but as Brad Paisley said, at 17, it's hard to see past Friday night.
Facts.
Yeah, which is true. I mean, because we're speaking this from much older than 18, 19, whatever, 20-year-old, you know, you're more rash. You know, you think back to maybe good times you might have had back in college that you want to do today, you know, but so I guess that's a little bit, you do kind of look past a little bit is how young they are.
I don't think everybody has a great support system either. You know, they're not seeing the full picture. I'm very fortunate where I have incredibly supportive parents who will also give me different perspective and say, hey, that sounds great, but have you considered these options? And I'm not just talking Oklahoma State. I'm talking college athletes in general. And, you know, kids don't come from, they have mixed backgrounds, and not everyone is thinking big picture. They're thinking, let me get the bag, let me get this money. And they're thinking short term, not big picture. And I think that that's part of the thing too. It's like, oh, I can go get this NIL deal for X amount of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is going to set me up. But if you don't have the financial savvy to really get that money in the right spot, that's not going to last you as long as you think it is. If you gave me $100,000 at 17, that would have been gone in a month. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. Give me $100,000 now. Oh, yeah. That will be invested. That will turn into money. You know, that will grow. And not everyone has that support system to really guide them the best way for them. So I think that that's part of the thing too, with the transfer portal and everything.
I think that's why it's so unique for Graylin Presley, because his older brother is in the program, and then you hear like his mom is giving these quotes to the Tulsa World. And that's why I just feel like that's why it's so surprising to me. You would think that, you know, the best thing for him would just be to stick it out. But I mean, I understand like the frustration and wanting to see your son succeed.
And not specifically to Braylon, but a lot of players, I'm sure you guys could attest to this, they don't know what it's like to be a sub. They don't know what it's like to come off the bench because they are the guy at their high school. So when you grow up in a program and you are always a starter, you are the guy, you are the top recruit coming out of your high school, your hometown, and then you come to a program where everyone else is on the same level, if not better than you, they don't know how to deal with not being number one. And I think that that's part of the issue too.
Yeah, years ago, there was a study that was done by Stanford University in which they wanted to find the most common traits amongst like the wealthiest people in the United States. So they go and they interview people all across the country, and they said the number one thing that most of these rich, wealthy people shared was delayed gratification. If you can just, hey, let me put up with what sucks right now, figure out a way to be resilient. And once I make it on the other end, I'll find a great reward on the other side of it. Unfortunately, we're in a generation right now that, you know, tends to think about instant gratification more and more. Now, I'm not saying that's what Braylon was thinking. I happen to know, I know Braylon's family. Like I know, you know, the Presley family. I know the parents, I know his sister, and they're an incredible family. He has an incredible support system around him. There may be some things internally that we just have no idea about how it went down. I know that he did not have a conversation with Coach Gundy, right? According to him. So I don't know what all is going on over there, but I will say for everybody else, delayed gratification will only help you out. Now, speaking of getting the bag, there is one person though, Mason Cobb. I don't know where he's going. I have kind of an inkling, but wherever he goes, I guarantee you that dude is going to get the bag wherever he went.
And Spencer.
Is it in College Station?
Look, I don't know. I don't know whether it's Mason and Spencer, like Lane just said. One of them folks is getting the bag.
I just hate that so much because he could, like you just said, delayed gratification. Wait one more year, stick it out with Oklahoma State, and then you get that bag in the NFL.
For who?
That's not guaranteed.
Mason or Spencer?
Mason. Oh, I'm talking strictly Mason Cobb. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I was like, oh, Spencer.
I think for Spencer, we kind of understand. Yeah. Spencer, we understand. I mean, like he's a grad transfer. It's a little bit different situation. So I get that.
But Justin, I think you might be forgetting that we're playing the sport of football here where the next play isn't necessarily guaranteed, right? I am I'm unapologetically very pro player. So if you have the chance to maximize the game in the short window that you have it, it's hard for me to be mad at you.
As you said, Spencer's gone transferring. We'll see where hopefully soon. Around the horn really quickly, who do you guys want to see come in as QB? If we were to get a transfer QB, there's plenty in the portal. Who do you guys want?
Obviously, the guy from NC State, right? Leary. I mean, yeah. He's one of the best QBs in the country right there. So I don't know what it'll take to get him to come to Stillwater, Oklahoma. But, hey, come on down, my guy. We got some cheese fries for you.
I was going to say, Eskimo Joe's, give him a sponsorship.
We'll take care of you, man. I got an Airbnb in somewhere. I'll hook him up, man. We'll give him a free
place to stay.
Whatever it takes. You know, I did see his stats they posted. I don't keep up with other teams, but I saw his stats and they're pretty impressive, I'm not gonna lie. So if he wants to come on down here to Stillwater, have a good time. Come on, man.
Justin, do you agree? Do you want someone else?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, NC State was kind of the surprise team for me looking at the preseason rankings. I was like, why are they up here? And it's obvious. It's that guy. But, I mean, if it's not them, I would say, you know, Hudson Card is a popular name, quarterback from Texas. I know that OSU offered him coming out of high school, and he looked okay in the games that he started this year. Jeff Sims is another one, quarterback from Georgia Tech. He looks like a great athlete who could pick up right where Spencer Sanders left off as far as being a dual threat quarterback. So I'd love to see either one of those, but I'll say this. If we don't get anybody from the transfer portal, I'm riding with whoever's quarterback at OK State.
Same here.
Hey, that freshman coming in looks pretty dang good. The Zane kid.
The Wrangle?
No.
The one coming in?
Coming in from high school.
From Nebraska?
Yeah, from Nebraska.
Gotcha.
So he looked pretty good.
Oh. We will.
I don't know. We'll see.
I don't even know what the coaching staff is going to look like. So it's hard for me to get excited about like anybody that's coming in, to be honest with you.
We'll see. We'll touch back in a couple months.
True.
We'll get more in depth with this in a couple weeks, but the college football playoff is set. Georgia, Michigan, TCU, Ohio State, which means our bowl is set, and we will face off against Wisconsin for the first time ever in both schools' history in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, December 27th out in Phoenix. We have good luck out in Arizona, guys. I'm feeling good about it. But
yeah,
neither team or both teams, their quarterbacks have entered the portal. So how do we feel about that going into that game?
I will say, first of all, we got to play a backup quarterback. I mean,
we know how that goes.
That's a red flag right there.
Oh, crap.
But I'll say, like, I mean, like, you know, it's the Portal Bowl in my mind, but we've got, it looks like some of their strengths are putting pressure on the quarterback and being able to stop the run. So we're probably going to see more of what we've seen from Oklahoma State, which is trying to throw the ball to open up the run. And it just hasn't worked this year. So maybe it works against Wisconsin in a bowl game. I don't know, but I'm not feeling too confident about the game to answer your question.
Yeah, I will say that there's a, I mean, I have a tremendous respect for Luke Fickell, what he was able to accomplish at Cincinnati. It's our the first time that I can remember that we've actually played the University of Wisconsin. So I love to see that type of matchup, right? Two great head coaches going against one another, two great college football programs, just hoping for a good product out there with Oklahoma State getting the win.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll be watching. We'll see. We do have good luck in Arizona, so. I hope we win. Not excited to go and get some backup quarterback because I don't have a good track record, but we'll see. It'll be good.
I don't know.
Get some young guys in there.
10:15 kick on the East Coast, which is where I'll be, and I'm not loving that. Ooh. But I'll put that on my DVR and I'll fast forward through it in the morning, guys. We'll touch base after. Last thing, Heisman finalists. Heisman Trophy will be awarded on Saturday. Stetson Bennett, CJ Stroud, Max Duggan, and Caleb Williams. Before we go, who you guys got winning the Heisman?
Look, I'm actually really surprised that Bijan Robinson wasn't one of the finalists. I think that he deserves it more than Stetson Bennett being in there. Not to take anything away from Stetson, but the Heisman has turned into a quarterback award. So, I mean, I would have loved to see Bijan in there. And with that being said, he's not. So, Caleb Williams, in my opinion, Caleb Williams would be the number one overall draft pick if he were to if he was eligible this year. Probably will be it last year. The comparisons to Mahomes, I think it's hard to avoid that. So, Caleb Williams, in my opinion, is the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree with that. Just based on what he's done this year at USC, turning them around from 4-8 a year ago, and the way that he can just, you know, do magic in the backfield whenever he's scrambling around. So if you had to choose between any of the quarterbacks that are listed for the Heisman, I think the majority of the people would select Caleb Williams to be their quarterback.
Yeah, most likely. He'll probably most likely easily win it. He's in a good spot. He's balled out, so he should probably win it.
I hope it's a close race and it's not a landslide. You never know with four, because, I mean, Caleb could have taken it by a landslide and then the next three are really close because, you know, they always do it by the number of votes received, or it could be of a tight race. I don't know. I think that Duggan, his performance, his that late drive in the fourth quarter could have gotten him more votes. I think that Caleb Williams has been the front runner most of the season, though, and it's kind of hard to overcome that. But I hope it's Duggan. I hope it's Duggan, but
yeah,
I think it's going to be Caleb.
I think if they did a QB sneak and Duggan gets in the end zone, I think we're having a different conversation right now.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree. But you know how I feel. Yeah, I've said it in the past. After Christian McCaffrey did not win it in 2015, I lost all hope in the Heisman Trophy. I don't put any weight on it.
I will say Caleb Williams has had a great season, and for him basically playing on one leg in the Pac-12 championship, you know,
yeah,
it is deserved, but I think that there could have been other people invited to New York as well, not just quarterbacks. But I don't get a vote, so who cares what I think?
Hey, before we even get off lane, I know that you have the barbecue business. When are you bringing some barbecue business over to Stillwater, man?
You're not the first person to ask that, that's for sure. But I'll have to bring some barbecue up now that I'm probably retiring or whatnot.
Did we just get breaking news on the Believe in OK State podcast?
No, not officially yet. Not officially yet. But I would assume probably next year I'll most likely be retired. But yeah, I'll have some free time on my hands. I'll be up there slinging some barbecue, I'm sure, for some tailgating. So y'all have to come by. Come check it out.
100%. Yeah. When you're there, let us know. Yeah.
Maybe right, you'll get there. Eve up, actually, because you weren't here at all this year, Eve. But
I'll be here for some barbecue. Don't worry about it.
Justin and I aren't enough. You need to have barbecue. Noted. Noted.
Absolutely.
I understand. Well, Lane, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts and opinions. And it was fun getting some new perspective on the show. So thanks for taking time out of your busy night to join us.
Absolutely. Glad to come on, talk a little Oklahoma State football, and had a good time.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. Be sure to like, share, subscribe on whatever podcast platforms you use. Check us out on YouTube. Leave us a comment. We do read those and respond when we can. On behalf of Eve and Justin, I am Meg. And as always, go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.